delighted to welcome back Anne-Marie Horgan into studio, the first time I've seen her in the flesh for several years.
I've gotten younger. How are you? I'm good.
Lovely to see you in person. And as always, our lovely listeners are going to keep you busy because we've already got a plethora of questions for you. So will we kick off? Now we'll start with one from Duran. Duran says, will you ask the foot lady who's on later, what can help a bone on the outside of my foot? It seems to be protruding out and it's painful lately. Should I go to see her?
Probably, yeah, if it's moving. Look, like there's two bones on the outside normally that shift. So one is called the styloid process, which is the base of your fifth mesh tarsal, and then the other one then is near the small toe. So look, if they start to move, it's not just the bone that's moving, it's probably the whole foot. So as we get older, our job or pregnancy or whatever, our foot tends to flatten and then bones tend to shift and they tend to move, and then that's when people get problems or nerve damage or entrapment or anything like that. So it's something brewing. I always kind of say to patients, look, something is brewing and it's going to erupt. So look, you're better off coming in and getting it seen to. But like if bones are shifting and protruding like that, we would have to probably build you a plate. Like it's like putting scaffolding around the foot. So we put scaffolding around and we stop the bones from moving, and then that stops anything progressing then over time.
This next one is from Julie in Derrymore. She says her son plays a lot of sport and he's been at the physio a lot this year, having been injured with Achilles problems. Is there a boot or something that Anne-Marie could suggest? I feel his feet might be causing this.
To see, that's kind of one of the problems, and I've said this time and time again, people always come to a podiatrist last. And you know, if you're active in sport and you feel if there's something wrong with their gait or the way they're running, obviously come in for an assessment. So look, if it's been for injury, as in if it's repetitive injury and it's been for continuous physio, obviously there's something else going on. It's not an injury. It's probably the way he's running. So if something is repetitive over time, always look, I'd always put a patient like that age, especially I'd put him running up in a treadmill, and then I'd video the way he runs. I'd assess his gait. Look at his knees, calf, hamstrings, everything. Check his functional movement. And then I'd look at his football boots and what he's doing outside of school as well. So obviously, if something is going on a long time, then a basic kind of gait assessment is imperative.
And could it be the boots?
It could be. 9 times out of 10, it's not. It's part of the equation. I always kind of say patients are a bit like a jigsaw. So once I put the pieces kind of back together and I build the whole picture, then they get back to sport. It's normally not just one singular thing. It encompasses many things.
Very interesting one from Ailva, who's in Dingle. She says, how can I stop my bunions from getting worse? I'm just after having a baby and I have some weight on. And looking at them, they've 100% changed. I don't want to end up with my mom's feet, and I don't want my newborn to have them either.
That's your inheritance. look, like, obviously, when you get pregnant, you put on 14, 16, whatever kg, and it's like adding another load on the house. So if you add another load, obviously your feet are going to change. So look, I wouldn't normally, if somebody was pregnant or whatever, had a baby, I'd say, look, I wouldn't really see you until kind of 9, 12 months, because I need to make sure the structure has completely settled before I interfere. So look, there's hormonal imbalance, everything else going on as well. So like when it comes to somebody like herself, and she's definitely thinks that bunions have progressed, she's not imagining it. So like always, people always think they're born with bunions, but it's actually the foot type that you're born with, which is from your mom or dad. And then from your foot type, then a bunion develops. So a bunion is secondary to flat foot, high arch or whatever. So we've got to figure out the primary cause and then fix the secondary symptom. And we've got to try and stabilize the bunions. So like obviously, like people don't realize there's so many bones in the foot, and they become loose and they become flaccid and they become weak. And I always kind of say, look, you can do a 360, it's a hinge joint or a big toe, and that guy, he can move quite quickly over a year or two. So if everything is settled for her, and as in she's out walking and you know, life is kind of settled, then I would advise her then to come in for an assessment.
Next up, we have an Art Firth listener who's wondering if we could ask you about a fracture on her navicular bone.
That's your inside bone.
Okay, inside of your foot, is it?
Yeah.
She's had 6 injections and she says she's sick of it. Now, I assume, she doesn't say it, but I assume she's not getting any relief from these injections.
They're steroid injections. So look, I'm not really a fan of 6 of them. Like, fair enough, 1 or 2, but not 6. Now, normally you're kind of meant to have 2 or 3 in the given year, but some kind of practitioners are needle mad. But like when it comes to the navicular bone, If it's prominent, as in if it's propped out, it's very hard to push it back in. So, like, normally what you've got to do is we've got to put a kind of an underlying supporting structure to stop the bone from progressing more. Like, you know, you must think your ankles, there are two hinges. So if I have a patient coming in and they're 14 stone, that ankle has to take 14 stone. So if you think about it, that structure gets weak. Like, if somebody's 50 years old, of course it's going to get weaker on it all day, every day. And if somebody's getting fractures, I'd always look at bone density, history, I'd look at their weight, I'd look at their job, I'd look at their activity. And then I would look at their biomechanics and see, do they need some sort of plate built or an orthotic built? And then we'd do a plaster Paris cast, and then we'd prop the foot back up and take, alleviate and divert the pressure away from that navicular bone that's been fractured. But like steroid injections are like popping a Nurofen. Like, you're not solving the problem, you're only masking inflammation. So you have to figure out why was there fractures there in the first place, and then work from there.
Kay is in Killarney. She's worried about her three-year-old daughter. Her foot seems to be rolling inwards and she's falling a lot. I'm a bit worried. It doesn't look right. And Kay is wondering if you see children.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I'm not really a fan of interfering quite early because, you know, if I do a lot of the work, then flaccidity and then weakness then occurs too early. So it depends on the child. So if somebody's coming in, I'd watch their gait. And if they've got knock knees, if they're clumsy, if they're falling, tiptoeing, all these kind of micro symptoms, if there's a lot of that going on, I can introduce something off the shelf as a kind of a, like a stepping stone. And then above that, then I can offer a semi-prescription insole, which is kind of a little bit more of a higher quality device. And then the next step would be then a cast at orthotic. So would I interfere at three? Normally I put them into what I call them stabilizing cups. So feet are turned out by degrees. So these cups have got 5 degrees of a tilt. So we add a little minimalistic tilt and put them into stabilizing cups. And then I would put them into kind of structural footwear and then review them normally in about kind of 9 to 12 months. And I'd kind of get her, you know, try and start her off in doing a little bit of exercise inside in the pool, put her on a trampoline, try and build up the strengths on those legs as well, which is very important.
Okay, it's funny how we get a lot of questions for you about children's feet, isn't it? Well, it's good that people are aware of it.
Well, see, I think the old age attitude, like, even I've got quite bad feet. So, like, if you think about it, I was put into Echo shoes when I was younger, ruined my childhood. And so, but people think shoes fix feet, but, like, that shoes are only have conveyor belt over in wherever, China. So, like, if I have 10 patients and they all have different feet, how can the one shoe from Clark's or wherever fix a foot? So it's 9 times out of 10, it's not the shoes, it's you that's the problem. But like the old age thing of a shoe is good for you. Now you have to get good shoes, but a shoe is good for you and it'll fix you. That's 20 years old. That's 30 years old way of thinking. That's gone.
That's gone. Yeah. Speaking of which, this next one is for a listener who says, would Anne-Marie have any idea of good non-slip footwear for work? The ones we get provided for us at work are rubbish, so I want to purchase my own. But this person doesn't tell me what they do.
Okay.
And that might be relevant.
It could be a kitchen or something, or well, if it's non-slip anyway, it has to be tiled. So like the OxyPass range is kind of the ones that I kind of recommend, because now they're a non-steel toe cap. They're a bit like the Nike Air Max 90s. They're replicas. And they're lace up, and now they do come in white. Now there's other versions that come in but kind of black as well, but like the OxyPass they're called, and they're very, very good. They're about 60-65 euros.
OxyPass.
Pass. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're very good at holding body weight. They last, you get your money's worth, and they look quite neat and they look good. Now they are very small fitting, so if somebody's a size 5 and a normal shoe, you'd be probably about 6.5 in these.
All right.
They're quite padded.
Okay, I hope that's of use to our listener. And if that person wants to get back and tell us what they do for a living, there might be a slightly different answer, but you never know. Person who doesn't leave a name says, I have a painful hard callus on the ball of my foot. It feels like a bone, but I'm not sure. And it's hurting after a longer walk. I've bought loads of shoes and socks and still the same results. So I think she might be able to help me. She sounds good when she's on.
Oh, thanks.
Well, there you go. Sound great.
Blunt. That sounds like a drop metatarsal. I have so many patients, especially over the last couple of weeks. I don't know what it is. And like they've been around for years and then they've stopped walking. And then, you know, it's affected their kind of daily activities. And then they come to me when the legs are practically falling off them. So like that sounds like a drop metatarsal head. So it's like walking on a stone. That's the easiest way to explain it. So they feel like there's a stone inside in their shoe and it's not. It's actually a bone that's dropped. So that lady there, whoever it was, they forked out for kind of whatever cushion socks. That's kind of one way, but it's not enough. So normally like that, we'd build an orthotic plate to divert the pressure away from the bone. So like obviously when somebody puts, we say, 10 stone on their feet and that bone is taking 10 stone of a load. So we build a plate to lift the bone back up off the ground. And so basically we drop the bone into a pothole, if that's the easiest way to explain it. And so that plate then, it holds the load and it stops from banging off the ground. And normally that resolves it. But they're in them for the rest of their life. Every single shoe, they can't go without an orthotic.
Okay.
They'd be quite dependent on the plates.
Okay, but sure, if that gives them relief, I suppose they'll be delighted either way. Another caller says, my husband got a knee replacement on both knees last year and his left knee is turning in and he feels it's his foot. Would an insole help or special shoes? His physio put a piece in his shoe, but I feel that he needs more.
A piece anyway wouldn't do much for turning a knee out. Well, look, it could, that's a number of things. You got to, like, if there's two knee replacements, I'm like, if you reverse back to, we'll say, a couple of years before the knee replacements were done, there's a weakness, a complete normal weakness there, because obviously, it, like, things build over time, which lead to the knee replacement. So obviously, the quads and the glutes, there's got to be weaknesses there. So I would look at that aspect first. Second off, it's all to do with the angle, as in how the knee replacement was done. And then third off, putting a piece of shoe is probably not progressive or aggressive enough. So yes, we can build a plate, or else we can adapt the footwear to rotate the leg out. So there's different kind of avenues that I can take. But normally, like, I'd stand the patient like that on the ground and I'd turn them at a certain angle and I'd see, can the knee align to what the foot is doing? So it's not as easy as just turning the knee out. And sometimes I would kind of do a DIY job first to see, can the knee tolerate my amount of directions I'm going to turn them. I wouldn't go down the full device route first. So then if the DIY job would work, then I'd move on to a corrective plate. So then I'd build the plate and then I'd get them out to as much of an angle as I can. And normally I would do that over kind of two or three stages where I would rotate out, out and out. And then I'd review them kind of every kind of 6 weeks to see how the lift is being tolerated. And then also I would implement, probably going to a physio and do some strength conditioning work as well, because that is, it's all well and good giving somebody a lift. But after two knee replacements, there's obviously weakness there. So I would definitely look at kind of the bigger picture as well.
Okay.
And look at his weight as well.
Okay. Which we don't know, of course, but it could be relevant. All right, Anne-Marie, we'll take a quick break and it's 70 minutes past two if anyone wants to check on the time. If you have questions for Anne-Marie, please send them in to us. You can phone them through to Padraig if you like on 066 712 3666. More from our podiatrist Anne-Marie Horgan after these. Welcome back, and if you've just tuned in, Anne-Marie Horgan from the Tralee and Killarney Podiatry Clinic is with us for her monthly slot, whereby she allows you to ask questions about your feet and she lends her expertise. This next one, Anne-Marie, is from Miriam. Miriam is in Tralee. She says, will you ask the foot lady about footwear for my ankle that was fused last year? I was told trainers, but I find them too flat.
Yeah. See, the problem is that with ankle fusion is that technically the ankle is glued, so it's locked. So, like, when we take a footstep, it's a rocker motion. So we start heel, midfoot, toe, and then we toe off. It's a rolling mechanism. And then when the ankle is fused, then you lose that mechanism. So it's kind of more like a dead leg. So, like, always, like, with patients like that, it depends now what angle she's put at as well. I'd have to see that. But always, they're put in rocker bottom footwear. So a kind of a trainer example of that would be the Hoka 1-1s. So I always kind of say, look, they're based like the bottom of a boat, so they roll. Now, some of them can be quite soft, so you have to kind of look at the different versions. But a normal trainer for an ankle fusion, no. It has to have a very high heel counter because her heel isn't hitting the ground like you or I. So it has to have a high block in the back. And so that will make her stand straight as well. And so also her heel won't have to hit the ground as well as close as we'll say a normal heel strike. So there is rocker bottom footwear as well. Medical footwear, look, they're awful looking. I wouldn't be recommending them. As in, the aesthetically, they don't look nice. Now, it depends what age she is, but if she's kind of a younger, even an older patient coming in, I wouldn't put them into them either. But I'd kind of look at the Hokas first, as in starting off, see if they suit. They're actually very good. They're nice.
Listener just simply wants you to discuss toenail fungus.
Okay, toenail fungus, God, there's many. Like, loads of patients come in and they think they have a toenail fungus, and in actual fact, it can be psoriatic, as in psoriasis. It can be damaged, we say, from a hill walker or for somebody wearing safety boots. So when somebody comes in, I always say, look, you have to get two or three samples done. They have to be sent off, be tested, have to be positive. So they might come back negative, pending on the sample that's taken day one. So enough has to be taken. So if it comes back negative, I do a second one. If that comes back negative, I do a third. And if it's positive, then obviously you're a definite fungal, because it's all down to who takes the nail clipping. It's quite hard to treat. There's a lot of things on the market. You can go for laser, you can go on tablets. Now, I'm not a fan of the tablet route because it's toxic to your liver. I'd use that as a very last option. If it's aesthetically bothering you very, you know, a lot, then yes, obviously. But like, people must realise, fungal nail infections, they don't affect your health in any way. They just don't look nice. So you can manage them. Now, normally diabetics are very prone to fungal nails. So, like, you know, the kind of care of them is basically, you know, keep them tight, keep them drilled down, go to a podiatrist, whatever, get them looked after. And, like, I would try and kind of figure out the reason as well, why you got them. So a lot of people would... It doesn't, like, you don't just get fungal nails out of nowhere. You always get athlete's foot first on the skin, and then you sweat, and then fungal spores will pop onto the nail. So there's always a primary. So then it'll start off on one toe, and then the shoe is like a combustion, as it's a warm environment. And then the fungal spores then will pop onto second toe, third toe, it'll progress. So a lot of patients come in, they think, oh, I fungal toes on my big toe for the last 10 years. And I say, you couldn't have it for the last 10 years because it would have progressed by now. So within a year, normally it'll progress onto the 10 toes. So normally that type of patient, they mistake it for fungal, and it's actually damaged. So if somebody stood down on top of it, or it can be from, you know, a lot of patients there will come in with shoes that are too small. So as you get older, if you're size 5 in your 20s, you have to be a size 6 in your 50s, because you can't stay the same size because your feet flatten. And then they have a tendency to wear shoes that are too small, and these can damage the toenails as well. So that's another reason why they have the kind of fungally look, but they're actually damaged.
Yeah, and there's another reason not to, you know, you often hear of people, women, falling madly in love with a pair of shoes and they're a size too small, but they buy them anyway and squeeze their feet into them.
Yeah, bargain.
Yeah, so don't do that.
Well, no, do, because that's more business for me.
I love your attitude.
Keep doing it.
Milltown caller says she heard recently that you can get keyhole surgery now for bunions. Her problem is her daughter, who has cerebral palsy, has one foot bigger than the other, meaning she has to buy two pairs of shoes each time. Is there an alternative?
What's the first part? Keyhole surgery for bunion?
I'm wondering now, is that all part
separate.
Of the... Maybe they're two separate questions, actually. I thought maybe that was all the one question. Well, the Milltown person says she heard recently you can get keyhole surgery for bunions. So I presume what she's asking is that true?
How can I explain it? No matter what way you go in with a bunion, you have to remove bone. So no, I doubt it. You have to make an incision to get into the bone, to place a plate or a screw or whatever, to do the realignment of the bone or whatever procedure has been done. So keyhole, no. I'd very much doubt it. And then the second lady then is...
She has a daughter with cerebral palsy who has one foot bigger than the other, and she has difficulty... She always has to buy her two different shoes, and she's wondering, is there an alternative?
There is. You can get a plate built. So we say if one foot is a size 5 and the other foot is a size 3. So you can get a plate built with, it's a toe stub. Basically, it's a kind of, how can I explain it? It's like getting polyfill and filling up the part of the shoe that's not, that the other size 3 can't take. So that's one option. Second option, you can go down the bespoke footwear, down the medical range. Now, our daughter sounds young, so... Anything kind of medical that's made as in bespoke. Now, I do them, but they're not, they're aesthetically, they're not the greatest looking. And they do cost, like, coming privately, like for a pair of kind of, we say, footwear for a younger, there I did recently for a lady, I'll give the price out. Yeah, I think it was about 500-600 euros, which is pricey enough for that age, especially when they're growing. So I wouldn't be a fan of kind of going down that line. I just think it's too expensive. So the filling in the kind of shoe, the gap in the shoe of the bigger foot is the cheapest option. So like, is there any other option? Probably not, no.
Okay. Moving on, Tom in Newmarket is listening to us. He's waiting on a procedure for hammer toe, and he's wondering, is there a bandage to give him support in the meantime while he's waiting for the procedure?
There is. Now, I'd always kind of, people are mad for surgery. And it doesn't solve all issues. You can straighten a toe and then you can cause secondary problems from straightening that toe, because if that toe doesn't move, then the other toes have to move more, which causes other problems. So for a hammer toe, obviously he's getting a pinned or whatever, he's getting straightened. There is a device, it's a toe fix device it's called, and it's like a strap. So basically we strap the toe, we pull the toe back down into place. Now there, it's by a Spanish crowd actually, it was developed there about 2 years ago. So it's very good. But like that, you have to put it on every single day, every single day. And like it's repetitive. Long term, yes, you could use it if you're compliant enough.
Moving on to Edwina, who's in Carroll Lake, and she says, will you ask Anne-Marie why my legs are so tired in the evening? They are just dead after work. It's like I've gotten 10 years older. Should I book in and get them checked with her?
Most definitely. Before you get even older. Look,
she doesn't say what she does for a living, but we can assume she's on her feet. Yeah.
Look, a lot of people who come in, they're always older than they should be. So I'd always kind of inquire about their lifestyle and their hobbies, and look, how do you feel in the morning or how do you feel in the evening? And you always get this thing that you can see the change over the years. And so basically, if somebody feels they're getting older, she's not imagining it. Now, obviously, look, you have to go with your gut. Your gut is your compass. And there is obviously changes going on. So like if somebody's standing, I always try and divert their hobbies into a non-weight bearing hobby. So look, go to aerobics, get on the bike, you go to an exercise bike, go for a walk in the pool, but stop pounding in the evening time. So just take the pressure off. So if somebody's standing that amount of time, over, we say, a certain amount of years, obviously flat feet is developing. And I always say, look, patients are sick of listening to me, but I always say, look, flat feet is like having two flat tires. And when they deflate, you've no bounce in your step, you're down to the ground, you're plodding. Legs technically knacker out, that's not the medical term, but they get tired.
Yeah.
And so they're overusing, and it's repetitive overuse that builds up over time, and then that creeps over the years, and then you stop walking, you might put on a bit of weight, your posture might stoop. So it creeps up, and then our bone density, I'd always advise patients to go off and get a DEXA bone scan to check your bone density, because that's part of it as well. We'd have to build that picture back up into place. So a lot of patients, I do send to personal training to introduce weights for the bone density and for their core and their posture, because as we get older we stoop because our core becomes weak, and then so I get them to work on their core to have the strength to stand up straight and to build their quads and their glutes as well, so when they're older they have a better footing and they have the endurance then to go for a walk. So like I always kind of say to patients, look, if I walked beside you and if I sped up, could you speed up beside me, and do you have that endurance? And say no, because it would actually tire them out even more, and that's a sign that they haven't got that efficiency in their legs to take kind of different dynamics. So that's why I'm a big fan of kind of doing strength work, especially for when you get older, because a lot of older patients coming in, they associate gyms with young ones, and that's wrong. It should be reversed.
Okay. There's an interesting thought to leave us with. And Anne-Marie, we better go because we're over time at this stage, but just remind people you are in Tralee and Killarney, but I know is there a bit of a backlog at the moment for, is it hard to get an appointment at the moment?
Yeah, we're just busy.
You're just busy.
We're always busy.
You're always busy. Yeah. That's good. So Tralee and Killarney Podiatry Clinic.
Yeah.
And people can look that up and get the number there.
Yeah, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and there's a website then, podiatryclinic.ie.
Excellent. Listen, we won't see you in July, but we will see you again in August, all going well. Have a lovely summer. Hopefully the weather will improve, and thank you for all of that.
Thanks a million.